Elizabeth Elliot says, "I realize that I don't spend nearly enough time praising God. I think hymns are a wonderful help. So let me just make that tiny suggestion that you begin your day with thanking the Lord." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again about fear of the future. In the last few months of my readings in great spiritual classics, I've come across these three phrases, which were written by different authors, but they say the same thing. We need to learn to fit our spirits to the circumstances, or to frame our hearts to the burden. And another one wrote, "Rest is not quitting the busy career. Rest is the fitting of self to its sphere." And each day there will be things that happen that we didn't plan on and didn't have on our schedule. Are we supple enough in God's hands to fit our spirits to the circumstances? We need not be afraid of those things that may happen tomorrow. If we are accustomed to fitting our spirits to the circumstances, fitting ourselves to our spheres, and framing our hearts to the burden, the circumstances are usually out of our control. The burden is something which God has appointed. The sphere is the place in which we are to glorify God. Are we accustomed, are we learning day by day to fit, to frame ourselves according to whatever God allows to happen or God sends in our lives? I read a wonderful article by A.W. Tozer called "Praise God for the Furnace." I can't resist reading the whole thing if I can fit it into the time. It was the enraptured Rutherford who could shout in the midst of serious and painful trials, "Praise God for the hammer, the file, and the furnace." The hammer is a useful tool, but the nail, if it had feeling and intelligence, could present another side of the story. For the nail knows the hammer only as an opponent, a brutal, merciless enemy, who lives to pound it into submission, to beat it down out of sight and clinch it into place. That's the nail's view of the hammer, and it is accurate except for one thing. The nail forgets that both it and the hammer are servants of the same workman. Let the nail but remember that the hammer is held by the workman, and all resentment toward it will disappear. The carpenter decides whose head shall be beaten next, and what hammer shall be used in the beating. That is his sovereign right. When the nail has surrendered to the will of the workman and has gotten a little glimpse of his benign plans for its future, it will yield to the hammer without complaint. The file is more painful still, for its business is to bite into the soft metal, scraping and eating away the edges till it has shaped the metal to its will. Yet the file has, in truth, no real will in the matter, but serves another master, as the metal also does. It is the master, and not the file, that decides how much shall be eaten away, what shape the metal shall take, and how long the painful filing shall continue. Let the metal accept the will of the master, and it will not try to dictate when or how it shall be filed. As for the furnace, it is the worst of all. Ruthless and savage, it leaps at every combustible thing that enters it and never relaxes its fury till it has reduced it all to shapeless ashes. All that refuses to burn is melted to a mass of helpless matter, without will or purpose of its own. When everything is melted that will melt, and all is burned that will burn, then, and not till then, the furnace calms down and rests from its destructive fury. With all this known to him, how could Samuel Rutherford find it in his heart to praise God for the hammer, the file, and the furnace? Samuel Rutherford was a Scottish minister back in the 1700s, and he was arrested and put in prison because of his doctrines. So how was it that he could praise God for the hammer, the file, and the furnace? Tozer says the answer is simply that he loved the master of the hammer. He adored the workman who wielded the file. He worshipped the Lord who heated the furnace for the everlasting blessing of his children. He had felt the hammer till its rough beatings no longer hurt. He had endured the file till he had come actually to enjoy its bitings. He had walked with God in the furnace so long that it had become as his natural habitat. That does not overstate the facts. His letters reveal as much. Such doctrine as this does not find much sympathy among Christians in these soft and carnal days. And this, incidentally, was written about 40 years ago. So if they were soft and carnal then, I don't think they've become any tougher, shall we say. We tend to think of Christianity as a painless system by which we can escape the penalty of past sins and attain to heaven at last. The flaming desire to be rid of every unholy thing and to put on the likeness of Christ at any cost is not often found among us. We expect to enter the everlasting kingdom of our Father and to sit down around the table with sages, saints, and martyrs. And through the grace of God, maybe we shall. Yes, maybe we shall. But for the most of us, it could prove at first an embarrassing experience. Ours might be the silence of the untried soldier in the presence of the battle-hardened heroes who have fought the fight and won the victory and who have scars to prove that they were present when the battle was joined. The devil, things, and people being what they are, it's necessary for God to use the hammer, the file, and the furnace in his holy work of preparing a saint for true sainthood. It's doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. Shall I read that again? It is doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. Without doubt, we of this generation have become too soft to scale great spiritual heights. Salvation has come to mean deliverance from unpleasant things. Our hymns and sermons create for us a religion of consolation and pleasantness. And may I put in a parenthesis here that very few young people today know hymns at all. They sing praise songs, some of which are pure scripture, some of which carry good, sensible theology, many of which are a bit thin theologically, a little bit fluffy. Our hymns and sermons create for us a religion of consolation and pleasantness. We overlook the place of the thorns, the cross, and the blood. We ignore the function of the hammer and the file. Strange as it may sound, it is yet true that much of the suffering we are called upon to endure on the highway of holiness is an inward suffering for which scarcely an external cause can be found. For our journey is an inward journey, and our real foes are invisible to the eyes of others. Attacks of darkness, of despondency, of acute self-depreciation may be endured without any change in our outward circumstances. Only the enemy and God and the hard-pressed Christian know what has taken place. The inward suffering has been great, and a mighty work of purification has been accomplished. But the heart knoweth its own sorrow, and no one else can share it. God has cleansed his child in the only way he can, circumstances being what they are. Thank God for the furnace. I thank God for people like A.W. Tozer and Samuel Rutherford, Amy Carmichael, and the hundreds of others who have shaped my life through their writings. God had to hammer them and file them and put them through the hottest furnaces in order to refine them to the point where they could speak with such authority. Suffering was required. And although some of God's dealings with us may just be the little chippings of the chisel, they're painful. And we often ask why. The answer is very simple, not necessarily always comprehensible, not necessarily easy, but the answer is simple. He is shaping us into the image of His Son. Do you want to be like Jesus? I do. I pray that He will shape me in the image of His Son. But it's an awesome thing to pray, isn't it? Because that shaping will require the hammer, the chisel, the file, and the furnace. But remember, it's the Master. It's God Himself, my loving Creator, my Redeemer, my Savior, my friend, who holds the hammer in His hand, who heats the furnace, who uses the file. He loves me. He knows what's best for me. Let's learn to trust Him, shall we?
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.